God, thank you that we can come before your throne this evening, Lord. And God, we just want to declare that we are here for an audience of one, and that is you, Father. I pray, Lord, that as you look down on us tonight, Lord, that you would be pleased with our offerings, with our gratitude, with our worship, Father. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of bringing the word this evening, Lord. In my eyes, it is just fish and loaves, Lord, and I ask that you would multiply it this evening, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So to be honest, I'm not a preacher, but I am a testifier. So I'm just going to be testifying this evening just of the goodness of the Lord and just things that he has done in my life over the last few years. So I spent a few weeks, Jolene and Richard asked me to share the word before they left and they went, and I've obviously had a lot happening with work and getting married and honeymooning, and so I've had a lot of time to sit and think, what is it that the Lord actually wants me to share with you? And this week, as I was sitting down to kind of jot down my thoughts, I heard Stefan's words in my head about how you first need to go through it yourself before you preach on the Sunday. And that's exactly how our household was this week. But the grace of God, he's faithful, and, you know, he's showing us his footsteps in his compassion. So the testimony that I want to give this evening is really just around a little bit about Dion and I. I know I've shared with some of you, but I wanted to kind of share it more widely and then go on to what I want to share with you this evening. So I didn't grow up in a Christian household, but by God's mercy, I became a Christian when I was about 17. And it became quite apparent very soon that the done thing was to wait on the Lord for the right person. I do recall at some stage somebody saying to me, he was an elder gentleman, and he said to me, please don't wait until you're older than 27, because once you get 27, then you're up on the shelf. And these words would later come to haunt me for years to come. So not coming from a Christian home, I had to sit and think to myself, what is it exactly that I'm looking for? What does a godly husband look like? What does a godly man look like? What does a godly father look like? And the older I got, I would look around and actually see what is left. And I would think, God, what is your heart for me? And the older I would get, the more I would realize that actually every one of us is on a journey. Everyone has some form of baggage. Every one of us has got some form of hurt or pain. Every one of us has got something that they're working through. And everybody is actually just trying their best. And eventually I realized that the ideals I had when I was in the 20s were now like, God, are you still there? Are you actually aware of what's happening down here? Do you know I'm still here? And all the while, another birthday would swing by, and I would wait, and I would wait. Along the way, I had to deal with the reality that I wasn't going to be a young mom. I wasn't going to have the 10 children that I originally wanted. And I had to regularly come and place my dreams on the altar. Yes, 10. I wanted 10. I wanted to have a whole football, soccer field full of kids. And I regularly had to come and place my dreams on the altar and declare God knew better than me and that he knew how better to address my heart's desires. And sometimes my own inner dialogue was very, very difficult, and I had to continue to stand on the truth of God, on the good days and the bad. And every now and again, you'd get well-intentioned people coming and saying, why don't you just go it alone? And that would often bring a barrage of self-doubt along with it. I would ask things like, have I done the right thing in waiting? Have I set my standards too high? And the doubts would just come in thick and fast. I jump ahead to 2021, when I moved back to South Africa, and I was hurtling towards 40. I was grateful to be back, but I was adamant that my husband was here somewhere in South Africa. I wasn't sure where. I now know where he was. He was in the desert. But alas, he's now in Franschhoek, so it's okay. I knew he was here, but I just didn't know where. And I put a lot of effort into meeting different people and still asking the same question, what does a godly man look like? And the more people I met, the more it kind of shaped my thinking around what is a godly man. And taking into account the fragility of each man, that each man is on his own journey, and I eventually concluded that the man that I was looking for was a man that I could walk in the cool of the day and converse with God. I concluded that all my dreams and ambitions were wrapped up and summarized in that phrase. So when I first met Dion, I wasn't particularly enamored, I must be honest. And for those of you who know our story, will know that Dion Pastor, he crashed on the pass behind here on our first meeting. And I was somewhat horrified by the chaos that had come into my life. And Dion would like to tell people that he fell hard for me and that he likes a life of adventure. In my world, I like everything planned and I consider it chaos. So Dion and I became friends gradually over time, and he was there in the background. And I would periodically spend time with him when he would come back from Khoinas. For those who don't know where Khoinas is, it's very far. It's by the Namibian border in the desert. That's where he was. And unfortunately, at the time, I didn't give the man a second thought or a second glance. Jump ahead to April 2023, and there was a bunch of us who were going through to Stellenbosch to do some of the ministry to some of the students over the weekend. And it was on the first night of worship. We were actually in worship that night, and I saw a vision of an old farm gate, and it was opening up. And the Lord said to me, "I'm opening the marriage gate. It's time for you to go through." And I was completely flabbergasted. I was like, "Lord, of all the places, this is where you want to tell me this?" You know, I had this illusion in my mind that God would wait until I'm there, you know, in my bedroom, the door's closed, and I'm having this moment with him, and then he would say, "He is coming." But it wasn't like that. God had other things on his mind. And right then and there, he put that, he dropped that into my spirit. At the same time that evening, Liesl was also there, and God laid it on my heart to go and pray for her. So I went and prayed for her. And then she reciprocated and she said, "May I pray for you as well?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, of course." And she said, I see a man coming and holding your hand and walking with you. I think your husband's coming." So God just came in and just confirmed the vision that he'd given me. And I knew for certain that I actually wasn't losing my mind. It was great to have breakthrough. I was like, "Yes, I do actually have a husband. Praise the Lord." But at the same time, I was like, "Well, who is he?" It felt in some ways like I'd taken a footstep forward, but actually I had moved nowhere. And I remember speaking to Jolene that weekend and sharing the vision with her and saying to her, "I still don't actually know who this person is." And looking back, I realized that I wasn't expecting God to be so clear in his communication to me. I don't know what I was expecting, to be honest. But I now want to say to God, if you were going to be so clear, I probably literally wouldn't have turned over every single rock and asked so many questions. But that's probably why he didn't speak to me so well. He didn't tell me that he was going to speak so clearly, because God loves a person who follows him and pursues him wholeheartedly. Jump forward to June of 2023. I'd been away for work. I'd been in the UK, and I was coming back on a flight, and I was pondering the things that I was coming home to. It suddenly hit me like a freight train. Dion and I had been friends for some time now, but I'd actually never given him a chance. He had twice very boldly let me know that he had feelings for me, and I quite frankly just stared back at him and I calmly said, "But we're just friends." And he was very gracious. Thank you. But this time it was me. I phoned him up when I got back from the UK, and I asked him to come and visit for a few days, and he readily agreed. And what do you know? The lights switched on brighter than any Christmas tree. And it was a few weeks later that we decided that we would like to get married. We picked the 23rd of March. And we brought it before the Lord. A few weeks after that, we came and spoke to Richard and Jolene, and they were a little bit shocked at how quickly things had progressed. And Richard very kindly explained to me how you need to give friendships time to develop, because he hadn't realized that we'd actually been friends for quite some time by then. But we'd said that we don't really believe in dating for dating's sake. You know, we want to date with intention. And so we put the 23rd of March into the diary, feeling quite confident that God had spoken to both of us, and so we committed to walking a journey with each other and with the leadership and with the church. And now the 23rd of March is history. And I will add, it was a wonderfully blessed day. So that's a bit about our testimony, and you'll have to ask Dion his side of the story. That's my side. I think he'll have a bit of a different take on some of the bits, but it's okay. And so now I'm going to jump ahead to today's message. So after our wedding, we left on honeymoon, and the one day we were sitting, and I was doing one of my favorite things, which is planning. For those of you who know me, I plan everything, and I live about six months in advance. I'm down there. So what I'm doing now is what I did plan 6 months ago. And I suddenly realized that I kept wanting to finish the current phrase of what I'm in so that I can tackle the next one. So, for example, when Dion and I were dating and he was living up in Koinos, I couldn't wait for him to move closer so then we could spend more time together. And then at the end of last year, he moved down. He was living in Wellington. And then I was like, oh, can't wait for us to be married. Then we'd have to worry about this traveling nonsense, you know. And then we got married, and then we were on honeymoon, and I was like, I can't wait for us to get home so Dion can get a permanent job and we can start planning things and organizing things. And I was starting to miss out on all the little beautiful things that God had put in store for us in that particular phrase. I want to share from Psalm 37, verse 23, where it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So God delights in, you know, in us and in taking us on a journey. So, you know, the fact that I was wanting to jump ahead to the next thing, is something that the Lord is working on in me. I also wanted to share from Ecclesiastes 3, where it speaks about how God's timing is perfect for everything. And verse 1, it says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun, under the heaven, sorry. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. And when you read scriptures like this, you wonder to yourself, why do we always just want to move on to the next thing and actually not marvel at what God has done? God had literally, in my mind, he did a miracle in bringing Dion and I together. And he had kept me perfectly safe in my waiting season. I discussed this with Dion while we were on honeymoon. And he reminded me of the Israelites and how they left Israel. They also saw miracle after miracle and yet pretty much doubted God at every corner. If we think about their story, they saw the plagues, they saw the Passover, they saw the opening of the Red Sea, they saw the guiding of the pillar of cloud by day, they saw the pillar of fire by night, they saw the collection of manna, the provision of water from the rock, and I could go on and on. And yet, for example, when Moses went up the mountain and he was gone about 40 days, he went to go and receive the Ten Commandments, they got fed up. And what did they do? They collected the gold and they built an altar and they worshipped this altar. Because they thought, well, that guy's obviously abandoned us. We'll just have to move on and do the next thing. So the question is this evening, when things don't go our way, or when things are taking too long, or we are in a waiting season, do we wish away our time or make our own plans? Will we allow our situations to minister to us and distract us from what God is actually doing? When we look at the life of Jesus, we see that he also went through waiting periods. Some of his famous ones, well, he waited 33 years to go into ministry. He waited 40 days for his temptation, and he also waited for the cross, knowing the whole time what would be his fate. I'm going to read from Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11, where it speaks about the temptation of Jesus and just what happened in that waiting season. And then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put your Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left and the angels came and attended to him. So in his waiting period and waiting for the temptation, so to speak, we can see what the devil came to do. He questioned his identity. He questioned his authority. He questioned the provision of God. And he also questioned the truth spoken by God. When I look back at my own waiting period, I see that the devil did the same tricks with me. It made me doubt God's love for me. It made me doubt if I'd actually heard God's voice correctly, if at all. It made me wonder whether God really had a purpose and a plan for me. And it made me question the promises from God and even the prophetic words that I had received. And so what I want to say this evening is that each one of us will, in one shape or form or another, come across a waiting period in our life. But how will we allow it to impact us? When that waiting period wants to come and minister to us, will we allow it to speak identity over us, shape our authority, cause us to view God as unloving or uncaring, or will we tell it to be quiet and speak the truth of God over it? I wanted to share a few other people who also had waiting periods in the Bible. We heard about Noah this morning. Do you know that he took 100 years to build the ark? And once he'd been in the ark, it was a year before he could open the door. What about Abraham, who waited 25 years for the promise of a son? And just to be clear, he was 75 when he received the promise, and 100 when it came to fulfillment. What about Joseph, who went through the pits and dungeons and slavery, and ultimately waiting for 13 years for his promise to come true? The Israelites went through the desert for 40 years. King David, when he was waiting to be king, from when he was anointed to when he officially began to rule, it was 15 years. And as we heard this morning, what are some of the things that we're waiting for? Well, we are waiting for Jesus' return, and we have been waiting 2,000 years. And it was such a great message this morning that I just wanted to quickly just reiterate the 3 points that he made at the end. And what he said to us, he said, abide in the presence of Christ. Keep your oil lamp full. Be ready. Pray on all occasions. And then lastly, go and tell the others about the ark that has been made available to us. That is Jesus Christ, who is available to all. Lastly, I just wanted to quickly speak about why does God actually allow waiting periods in our lives? Well, the ones I could think of was it brings us humility. It forces us to not rely on ourselves, and it makes us depend on God. It also builds our trust in God. It says, God, I cannot see an outcome, but I know you can. It also grows our obedience. It helps us to deny our flesh and hold on to God. It also builds our faith. So when the waiting period tries to minister, we minister back louder and remind our waiting period of who God is and who he has made us to be. And the best part is that when it's fulfilled, it gives us the ability to go and testify of the goodness of God. So my question to you tonight is, are you in a waiting period? Are you waiting for a job, a promotion, some additional provision? Are you waiting maybe to retire? I'm certainly waiting to retire, I can assure you. Are you waiting for God to maybe remove the work bully in your midst? Or are you possibly waiting for salvation of your family and friends? Or are you waiting for a husband or even children? Are you maybe even possibly waiting for healing? What are you waiting for on the Lord? And what are you trusting him for? And I just want us to think for a moment, what is that, whatever it is that we're waiting for, what is it currently saying to us? If you find that the voice of the waiting season is louder than the voice of God and of his truth, then there are a few ways that we can circumvent the lies that want to come and creep in. Firstly, we can read the word of God and ask God to come and renew our mind, not only about the situation and how he's using it. We can also ask him how he's shaping our identity through it, or how he can remind us about the authority that we have in Christ. We can also testify about where God has come through for us. In Revelation 6, it speaks about at the end times church, how they overcame the evil one. It was through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So testimonies are really, really powerful. Also, we can recount the specific promises that God has given us and also the ones he's already answered. And if you are struggling to remember where God has come through for you, find a friend, ask a friend, please help me to walk this journey. And especially if you struggle with your emotions, if your emotions are a little bit erratic and you can't necessarily see the truth, ask a friend who can come walk alongside you and bring revelation and bring truth and read scripture with you and help you to walk that journey. And lastly, you can abide in his presence, wait on him, worship him, testify until he releases you from your waiting season. Lastly, I wanted to remind us all that God is a good father. He is watching over us. He is working in us. Our waiting season isn't evidence that he doesn't love us or that he doesn't care. He is molding us. He is shaping us for the day of completion. We should use our waiting seasons to rejoice and celebrate because our breakthrough is coming. It's hard when you don't see it, but we ask God to increase our faith because the day is coming and will come. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17, it says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." So, I want to encourage you all today to stand firm. Your Father in heaven will surely not disappoint you. I heard a word this week that says, if you can imagine how God will answer your prayers, then it's probably not how he's going to do it. You won't be able to work out in your mind how God is going to answer your prayer, but he will bring about the good thing, the right thing. We just need to wait on him and remember that he always does good for those who love him. I'm going to leave with Psalm 66, verse 5, and also Romans 28, but let's just go Psalm 66. It says, "Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the sons of men." And in Romans 8, 28, it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." So we might not know why we are going, what we're going through, but the point is that God does, and we can trust him. If you're feeling that what you're going through is purposeless, we can take comfort in knowing that God gives purpose to what we are going through. Amen. So, yeah, I just wanted to encourage anybody, if they want to come up for prayer, if you're in a waiting season, if you're in a holding pattern, if you're struggling with whatever it is that you're going through, please feel free to come up and receive prayer. Even if you just want fresh revelation from the Lord is kind and he is good, and he knows all our needs before we even ask. So don't feel ashamed or embarrassed. Whatever your need is, it's not too small or too little. So, yeah, we just want to give praise and honor to the Lord. So let us pray. Father God, we want to say thank you, Lord, that you use all things in our lives. Thank you for the waiting seasons that you keep us in, God. And, yeah, Lord, sometimes they're uncomfortable. Sometimes they're difficult. Sometimes we don't understand. But, Lord, we just declare tonight that you know and you understand. You know what you're molding and what you're shaping, God. We just want to come and declare that we are your servants, that you can mold us and shape us as you see fit. Help us, Lord, to seek comfort in your Holy Spirit. Help us to seek your word. Help us to wait patiently, Father God, because we know that you do all things for your honor and for your glory, Father. We just come and give you praise this evening. In the name of Jesus, amen.